We left off last week. We were discussing one of the most important parts of Bikur Cholim is the idea of davening for the Chola. We spoke a little bit about it last week, and many of you asked correctly, what exactly does that entail to fulfill the part of davening? So I want to get to that a little bit this evening, because we didn't really do justice last week. But before that, I just want to mention a very interesting Chassam Sofer that I came across this week. The Chassam Sofer, if you remember, we spoke last week about doing Bikur Cholim via Zoom. If there's any reason to do Bikur Cholim over Zoom versus in person. So we mentioned that in person is definitely much better. But listen to this reason from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes, in number one, he says, Yir lefarish ha-mashikos of Chazal, ha-mavakish rachim b'fnei ha-choyla, and tzarek l'haskir shumai. One of the perks of being, source number one. One of the perks of being live when you visit the Chayla is you don't have to say his name. Normally when you daven for someone, you say his name, Ben, his mother. Her name, Bas, her mother. Says the Chassam Sofer, the Gemara tells us that when you're davening in front of the Chayla, you don't have to use the name. We saw this last week recorded in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Chassam Sofer, v'kosvu ha-mukubalim. The mukubalim write, kiyesh b'haskaris shmoy k'tzas is oiris hadin alof. When you bring up a person's Jewish name, you kind of all of a sudden make him susceptible to being judged by Hashem. Meaning it's like you're calling attention to him. You say, Hashem, please daven for Ruve Menle. Hashem's like, okay, let's research Ruve Menle. Let's see if he deserves it. So when you bring up his name, you now cause him to be researched better. Says the Chassam Sofer, Afal Pishim, Mikamakim Karv L'Schar Ideat Fila, Mikamakim L'Pam Mikak Tzasefsit. He says, it's risky. So you think you're doing a great thing. I'm davening for all the Chayilim and I say their names with their mother's name, but it's a little bit risky. Why? Because now that you're bringing that name up to Hashem, now Hashem hears the case and now he's got to look into it and say, well, this guy, maybe not. So says the Chassam Sofer, Mashinkish is Mabafnei Chayla, Shein Tzarech Lahaskir Shmoy, Oz Toivloy. That's why when you daven in front of the Chayla, you don't have to use his name. If you don't have to use his name, he bypasses that whole system.
First of all, the problem doesn't apply if.
You don't know the name?
No. You're saying if you're davening for the Chola not in front of him,
so then you have to use his name.
The same problem.
No, then you have to use his name.
Okay, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu is still going
to. No, but Hashem, that's what he says, that it's brought down in Svarim that Hashem processes much more carefully when you use the name.
Right. So if he's saying maybe you shouldn't use the name for that reason.
No, so that he's not willing to say. He's saying that you got to do. But since the halach is that when you're in person, you don't have to use his name, so now that's a perk of coming live to the Chayla. Because now you don't see, he says, it's great. It's great. It's much better now because you don't have to use his name. That's why when you come to visit someone, you should add that he should live. You don't have to use his name.
Is the word just slave?
I'm going to get to that in a second. But I just find this Chassam Sofer so interesting. According to Chassam Sofer, that's the mile of going live. We spoke last week about doing Zoom. So we said that the davening is not the same. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's more than that, just the davening is not the same. You're doing the Chayla much better favor. Why? Because if you have to mention his name, then he gets susceptible to being judged. But if you skip his name, you're giving him a better chance. So that you can only do if you're live. Because if you're not live, you have to use his name.
Not to pick a fight with the Chassam Sofer, but I guess Coach Boros already judged him because he's sick.
Right? Yeah, I guess on some level. Right. Whatever this means, right, exactly. So he says, so that's a gishmak of maila. If you're on the fence about should I go visit the guy or do it over the phone, the maila of going there is that you can guarantee that you can circumvent this system. Right, but the problem is you can't do that when you're away from it.
You don't
have to. That's what it says in Shulchan. Exactly. We mentioned that last week from Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins that when you're there live, you don't say you ben your mother. You just say you, and that's good to go. Now we spoke last week about what exactly do you have to say to fulfill the kiyum of Bakashas Rachman. So I found over here. This is a sefer I've been using a lot called Hilchos Bikur Cholim. Very creative name for a sefer written by somebody, and he writes this: V'nogu loyma l'chayla Hashem yishlach l'cha refuah shleim. The practice is that when you go to the sick person, you tell him, Hashem should send you a refuah shleima, ubezeh mikayim shemispal al-chayil. That's good enough. Just tell him, Hashem should heal you. You can say this in any language, because you're in front of the chayil, we learned last week, that's permissible. Exactly, that's what it's learned from. You don't have to use a name. Now, Baruch Hashem, I was going through my I don't have a lot of books from, because I have everything on my Yitzchak, but it was one sefer that caught my eye, that was actually given to me as a gift by David Pollack, right over here, gave me as a gift, Reb Usher Weiss, A Medical Ethics. And I opened it up, and he talks about a lot of the stuff that we're going to learn tonight. It was Mamish Bashet that I looked in the Sefer. Yeah, it was great. So it was a great gift that I got, and I was able to look up quite a few things that Rabbi Asher Weiss discusses. Now, the truth is, it's written in English, and it's great, but he tells you we are in Minchas Asher, everything is found. So I was able to look up in Ma'aretz HaChachma and put it on the paper for you. So in Minchas Asher... I got that also. That I have ready. I have Chelek Aleph already, and I think you gave me Chelek Beis also, so I got that as well. The rest of it I have on my computer, which is great. So the Minchas Asher writes like this, number three. He says, V'nira Pashut. Says Rabbi Asher Weiss, D'masha Mevarchim HaChole BeBerchas Refu Shalema, ain dai bazel lotzis dechayvas tefila. Says Rabbi Shmuel, just before shalema, it's not good enough. Elo sheyisa tefila, you have to make a tefila v'yater bilavavoy eitzel mitas achayla. So Rabbi Shmuel seems to be saying that just the classic refuah shalema does not cut it. Now, does he mean you have to say more like Hashem should send you a refuah shleima? I don't know. It's not clear to me. But definitely what Rabbi Asher Weiss is pointing out is that just the generic refuah shleima, you should feel better, does not fulfill the Ramban's din of davening. So you got to do a little bit more tefillah. And he also writes, when do you say this? Eitzel mitas achel, you say it when you're by his bed, you're by the bed of the chayla, you give him a nice, Hashem should send you a refuah shleima, you should feel better, maybe jazz it up a little bit more, but the generic refuah shleima, Rabbi Asher Weiss doesn't explain why, he just writes that for him it's pashut, that would not constitute davening for the chayla. I came across a cute story in the Sefer Miservis Moshe, this is written by Rav Moshe's family, the Tendlers, right, they record a story like this. The Avrich Echad Tzeltzel Mi Mexico, a certain Avrich, someone learning in Kail, called Rav Moshe, the Sipur Eich Shegisoy Ach Ishtoy, that his brother-in-law, his wife's brother, Kail, fellow called up Rav Moshe with the following shayla, his wife's brother is sick, the Ishtoy Mo'od Rotzel Vakri, and his wife very much wants to go visit her sick brother, Latos to New York, which means leaving Mexico to go to New York. Ach Le Rotzel Lechaz Bli Baila, she doesn't want to travel alone, she wants to go with her husband. But if he goes with her, Yitzarech Shehu Yisbatzo Shvayim, he's going to have to take off 2 weeks from Yeshiva. So here's the dilemma. What do you do? Now, before we even see Rav Moshe's answer, to me this is more of a Shalom Bayis question than it is a Hilchas Bika Chaylim question, right? Meaning the wife has to go visit her brother because, forget Bika Chaylim, because that's a sibling responsibility. And you have to go with your wife because she won't go alone. But what does Rav Moshe Feinstein answer? V'heshev Rabbeinu, sha'av she'bitl Torah ovin godol moid. Even though, of course, Rav Moshe Feinstein was very pro-learning Torah, and he considered bitl Torah a grave sin, if the sister really wants to visit her brother, that's also a big thing. A sister wanting to visit her brother who's sick is a big thing. She should go, and you should go with her. But don't waste your time when you get to New York. When you get to New York, go learn. There's yeshivas in New York. So once you get to New York and you get off the plane, you visit, Statue of Liberty, then you go back to business as usual. So I'm not so sure if this story sheds light on how important Rav Moshe looked at Bika Chaylim or how much he looked at family dynamics, but I just thought it was an interesting story pertaining to the mitzvah of Bika Chaylim. No, he didn't say. I went through the.
More than
he just says generic refuah shleima doesn't work. So you got to be a little bit more creative with your brachas. You got to say, Hashem should help you. Hashem should make you feel better. Hashem should get you out of here. Hashem should get you back on your feet. You got to be, I guess, a little bit more creative to be mekayim that opinion.
Yeah.
I guess that would also be Bakashas Racham saying some Tehillim would be nice. Yeah, I think so. That would probably also be good. Yeah, sure.
Gavai is reading a whole list of right. People for Mishper Bahal. He's putting them in
some. Yeah, but you don't have a choice.
Right,
you're stuck. Meaning, it's basically roll the dice. You say to yourself, listen, if I do nothing, then no one's going to daven. If we daven for him, at least whatever that means, that Hashem is going to have to look better, but at least they're getting some attention. If we don't say anything, they're getting no attention. But the reason why I wanted this is because it just brings out so clearly one of the perks of calling live, as opposed to doing it over the phone or Zoom. So we left off last week, we didn't get into this so much. I just want to also very quickly, because Rabbi Asher Weiss talks about it as well. Again, it's not so negeya, because we started to talk last week, let's say you're bedside. You're taking care of a family member who's ill, and you're there with them at their bed. So the halachi is you're really pater from mitzvahs, as long as you're actively helping them. And if they're sleeping or they're resting and they don't need you, you're not really doing anything. So you're not oisik b'mitzvah patur mitzvah. But if you're an active participant, you're helping them, or even your being there is calming for them, so you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah. If you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, you're patur from the other mitzvah. Where do we find this? So believe it or not, in all places, number five, Hilchas Tefillin. And Hilchas Tefillin, Simin Lamed Ches Shulchan Aruch writes, Kaisvei Tefillin Mezuzos, a sefer. Someone who writes Tefillin Mezuzos, Heim V'Tagrehem, them and their salespeople. The people who sell tefillin mezuzos, the tagri tagre, and the sales of the sale, meaning how many levels it takes to get it sold. Right, you have different people who sell it from the sefer till the door, till your house. Those people, because they're doing God's work, they're potter from wearing tefillin. Zulas b'shas kriyishma v'tzol, except for during kriyishma and tefila, because the rest of the day they're oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. Hagah says the Ramava, ma'yitzvichem lasis malachtem b'shas kriyishma u'tefila. Let's say they'd have to write tefillah mezuzahs 24/7, even during kriyishma and tefila. Os b'turin, they'd be potter from that also, because oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. So again, the rule of oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah gets a little sticky, because most of us are not oisik in anything all day long. We take breaks. We're human. We take breaks. Right? Even if you're going to stay with a sick person, there's usually some form of shifts. Other family members will relieve you or whatever. But if at least while you're being occupied with that, you are technically considered doing a mitzvah, and then you'd be potter.
So in other words, if you didn't dive a mincha,
that's right. Exactly.
If you're in that,
that's right. That's right. A, you don't, and B, you should not get up to go daven mincha. Definitely not get up to go daven with a minion. Let's say you say you're there with an elderly family member. You're actively, and you say, "I'm sorry, Dad, I got to go to mincha, and I'll be back in 2 hours." That's wrong. Now, if you could sneak away for a few minutes and daven in the back room, which we'll get to later tonight, which rooms you can daven in, it might depend which hospital you're in. Some hospitals have a lot of avodah zarah all over the place. We'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes. But if you could sneak away, good. So if you could, again, it's a question of can you do both. But I'm just emphasizing davening with a minion is a lower level than davening. I know it's very controversial, but it's true. Davening with a minion is a perk in your davening. It's a perk in your davening, but it's not the davening. Davening is davening, and davening with a minion is a perk. It's an additive perk to your davening. And sometimes you're not allowed to do that additive perk based on the situation. So if you're not mechayiv to go drop everything and run to the other side of town to catch a minion and leave the chayla to be unattended. Now, if you could leave the chayla for a few minutes and daven in the back room, then you could. If you can't, you're also potter. And we'll see. So what happens then? So you don't have to daven. You have to make it up. We'll get to that in a second. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Ramah says, you're oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. But here's where it gets interesting. Says the Ramah, avlam yochal asi shtein ka'achad, if you could do both. But lo teirach yasi shtein. Again, if you can multitask, which most of us could do, right? Watch everyone in their cars. They can shave and text while they drive. Right? We're multitasking people. So then you could. But if you can't, there are times where you possibly need to be at the bedside of the chayla. They really need you. Or, you know, they're you're in the middle of helping them with something. You can't just run out and you're helping them, you know, you're carrying them from their bed to the bathroom. And all of a sudden you like drop them because you got to run to a minion. That's ridiculous. That's terrible. You wouldn't do that. You'd get them back. And if they're rested and comfortable and you ask them, do you still need me? And they say, no, I don't need you. You say, okay, good. Now I'll go daven. But if they say, no, I need you. I don't know what's, you know, I might need you in 2 minutes, whatever the case may be, then you don't go. You stay in the room and you're there to be there for them. Now, here where it gets a little interesting. What happens if this is your job? And that's the guy's a doctor. So all day long he's helping people. So he's part of the whole day, he never davens. Doctors only daven on Shabbos, on the weekends when they're off. That would be...
But they
don't right. So let's. So there's really two groups. We'll call this, let's say, Hatzal or Bika Chayla members that are doing it all Lishma. And then there are people that are doing it for Parnas. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in number 6, the Mechaber talked about the guys who writes the Seifrim and the sellers. He says, V'av shem avichem bezeh, the sellers are gaining by doing this business. V'davkim ikr kavanosim k'dei lahamtzian limochir l'mishu tzarech lahem. So the Mishnah Berurah comes up like this. The only time we say oisik mitzvah bat mitzvah when you're doing it for the right reason. Avol im ikr kavanosim miraklish taka. But if, let's take an example, your whole reason for selling tefillin mezuzahs is not to help a Jew get tefillin mezuzahs. Your ikr reason for selling tefillin mezuzahs is because you need to make money. And that's your whole intention. Then loy mikr...
Why does it make a distinction between the sofer?
I guess we're assuming the sofer is more not money-based as opposed to the sellers of the goods. Again, to be a sofer, you have to be a little bit... it's very hard to be a sofer. And they don't get paid a lot of money. There's a lot of chumers, a lot of things you have to know. I'm still not sure why anyone would do it, but people do it. It's a popular business. So says the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that in order to say oisik mitzvah b'atamin mitzvah, it has to be done for the right reason. So the question is, what happens if I have two reasons floating around in my head? Let's say doctors. Now, I haven't met too many doctors that will tell you that I honestly treat patients just for the sake of treating patients. No, they do, because it's a parnas, and I have no tainus on them, right? Everyone does everything for parnas. So l'chayr l'fi this Mishnah Berurah, a doctor would not have oisik mitzvah b'atamin mitzvah. Hatzalah member probably would. So if Hatzalah member is in the middle of taking care of a patient and it comes time for davening, he'd be potter.
Yeah, but maybe there's really a difference. So for writing the mezuzah is a mitzvah.
Correct.
Right, writing the tefillah, selling it is not. You're enabling somebody to do a mitzvah, but that's not an actual mitzvah.
Okay, so we'll see what Rav Asher Weiss is going to say.
A doctor.
Oh, good.
Right?
That's what Rav Asher Weiss is going to say. Rav Asher Weiss is going to say a doctor, even if he's not doing it for the reason, but if he's in the middle of, you know, saving a patient, he's in the middle of doing a surgery, so then we don't care what his intention is. Rav Asher Weiss says, we'll hopefully get to that. That's another truth from Rav Asher Weiss.
I
figured. That's why. That's it. So the Be'er Halacha says, when we come walking in the number 7, the right corner, he says, De'im kava nosi l'shnehem b'shava. Shnehem b'shava, equal. That's a real from a doctor. He's thinking equally that I became a doctor for two reasons. To help people, equally. To become a doctor, to help people, and to, make money. So that says the Be'er Halacha, mikri oisik b'mitzvah. That's called oisik b'mitzvah. So now already we can start clearing about doctors. Doctors are, they're both. I think most doctors have in the back of their mind both of these svaras when they're practicing. On one hand, they're doing it because they want to help save lives, especially if they're treating Jewish patients. And on the other hand, they're doing it because they got to pay their tuition. They're really thinking both svaras. So if you look over in Nishmas Avram, the top left corner, the Nishmas Avram quotes from Reb Zilberstein. So Reb Zilberstein paskin do lefiza kosev Reb Zilberstein. Let's say a doctor or a nurse. Avo pisha kolav edosu huraka vorscha, even though their whole working is just for the money. Gam roif because who meshav aved. He's still like saving. He's bringing back a lost object. Let's say you want to return a lost object. You're returning someone's life. He says that at the time when you're practicing, you're not thinking so much about the money. That might depend on the doctor, but okay. Zelberstein, Lemaisa, when you're actively treating the patient, you're not thinking about the dollars and cents.
Yeah,
you're not thinking.
It makes sense. At the end of the day, you're thinking about
that's true. You're not thinking about how much can I build the insurance company or how can I word this to the insurance company.
Right,
you're thinking.
You do
that afterwards. So he says, Memelo, that's considered a mitzvah. You'd be Oisik b'mitzvah, part time in a mitzvah. So Rabbi Shawai says a whole lengthy tshuva about this. Min Chasash Chelek Aleph, Semin Kuf Chafalf. We also discussed this Shaila. Someone sent them a Shaila from one of the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Eretz Yisrael is better because they're Jewish. So you could definitely feel more of a connection than treating non-Jewish patients. So they asked the Basha, why is the same shayla? Let's say you have a doctor who works a shift. So they work 12 hours in the hospital. So for those 12 hours, they're part of from davening and from all the mitzvahs. So how does that work? So he says, who can say, says the Basha Weiss, that your main focus is kavana? First of all, it says, rearrange your schedule. Make patience on a way that you can work around being able to daven and being able to do mitzvahs. That's his first svar.
Sometimes, what happens if you're in
an
emergency?
Oh, we're going to get to that in a second. He talks about that when you're in an emergency room, doctor. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. That's the end of the tshuva. Then he writes, here's another svara. So first, Rav Moshe Weiss is not convinced that doctors are sol lishma. Now, I'm not sure, I don't remember if I saw in the piece that he addresses this Be'er Halacha that I mentioned to you, that the Be'er Halacha says if you have both equally, could be Rav Moshe Weiss will say, no one really has both. They really have 75% money, 25%, lishma. So Rav Moshe Weiss is not convinced that any doctor is really sol lishma in his reasoning for treating a patient. But he says, I have another reason why we can't exempt all doctors from ever doing mitzvahs. He says, "Ach mitam ach yesh l'reif l'tachin." He says, why? He says, "The krakosav abriki yosim simel lamed ches." The mitzvah she'adam oisik behen ba'ofin todir kol ayoyim vade ene paiteres oisim me mitzvah acheres. The abriki yosim says, "Oisik mitzvah part of a mitzvah, something that happens on occurrence. Not that happens every single day. It happens on all that happens. You're doing mitzvah A, so you can't do mitzvah B. But this is every day. A guy works 5 days a week. He's never going to do mitzvahs." The abriki yosim says, "It can't be. Oisik mitzvah part of a mitzvah is not if it happens all the time." Says Rabbi Shmuel, you think Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch meant that the Sefer never did mitzvahs? He meant that if he's punked in the middle of writing a Sefer Torah, he's in the middle of doing something, and at that same time something comes up, he's potter. But if this is going to be your whole life, it can't be. It's not logical. Your whole life you're going to be potter because of Isig mitzvah. However, says Rabbi Shmuel,
two questions. Number one, does it make a difference between a finished doctor versus a resident in the hospital? Does it have a choice? He's not doing it for the money. He's getting the same salary, which is minimal. And yet,
it's the old question. Why are you treating patients? It's the old question. Why you went to
right now? He's getting paid.
The question is not about how much you make. The question is why are you doing what you're doing? The answer is partially for money or to become a doctor, which equals money.
Later on.
It's not lishma. That's the point. Right. I mean, you're not kavon. It's not just to help Jewish people. That's what I mean.
And then the other thing is, what happens if, let's say, you'd be a resident and you're on a 36-hour shift where you get called constantly.
Right, so that's what we'll see. So, Omnam, Misha Oivid Bechede Miyun. What's a Chede Miyun? Emergency room. So says Rabbi Shavai, let's say you work in the emergency room. You can't schedule patients in the emergency room. They just shoot them at you. You gotta, whatever comes your way. He says, you can't arrange your schedule. You're on call. Again, let's say again, Hatzalah members. They can't schedule when there's going to be an emergency. They call, they go, they do. That's it. Ulupam and Mikram Rabim. There's a lot of cases. V'chaloyim Rabim Megiim B'Bas Achas B'Tkifas Gavoa. It just piles up. They just come in one after the other, and there's nothing you can do. Then V'chol Mikra B'Chalal Safib Kuach Nefesh. And each occurrence is at least suffic b'kuach nefesh. You don't come to the again. Okay, maybe you don't come to the emergency room if it's totally not even in the realm. Even though, and people do today, especially if they don't have insurance and other games, whatever it is. So Rabbi Shavai assumes it's at least suffic b'kuach nefesh. Says Rabbi Shavai, if you're an emergency room doctor and you just it's too much. You can't take it. You can't just slip out. You're in the middle of treating patient after patient after patient, and then the mantfila rolls around your potter, kriyashma rolls around your potter, from everything. Even though you're not thinking anything lishma, you're thinking panos, you think, okay, good, you know, I'm making money. Kivin di yesh kan sofik b'kuach nefesh potter, hu mehamitzu b'cholinyin. Since it's sofik b'kuach nefesh, v'oy di kivin sh'oisik be'etze ma'isa ha'mitzvah. That's your svara, David. Says, "Lamais, I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm doing a mitzvah now." Says Rabbi Shavai, "My svara is my kavana is irrelevant." Umikomok mahalacha potter mitashlumin. You don't even have to make it up. Ach ein ze elokish oisik v'tard who be mitzvah zum betchilas man hatfila. That's me when you know from the get go you were busy. Not that there was any downtime in between. Man, from the get go I was nonstop. Patient. Then I miss matzvila. I don't even have to make it up. Even though we did mention last week that there is a mishtabur that sounds like you should try to do it b'taras in the dava. She tried to daven again as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here, Basha Weiss sounds like, no, if you're running, let's say a guy gets that soul call one after the other. I'm sure it happens, right? Right, running one after the other. You're jumping, and that's it. It's gone. Minuch is gone. There's never any time. There's nothing you can do. So then you're potter. You don't even have to.
So this is only you don't even, once in a while.
Right. So that's what that was Rabbi Basha Weiss's original thought there from the Birkei. He said, this can't be your life. This is on occurrence. Even our soul members, it's not like every day it's like that. I'm all that happens like that. Okay, this is really we were supposed to cover last week. What do you mean if there's an inyan b'kuach nefesh?
Yeah, in other words, b'kuach nefesh. In other words, b'kuach nefesh on the guy, meaning that, and therefore you're doing that, so therefore you don't have to.
You have to treat a guy anyways because of Ava. So right. I guess that would you'd have to treat him anyways. So you'd have to treat him. So I just wanted to finish. This is really from last week. We're just a little behind schedule. The Sefer Hilchos Bikachayim. He writes this mafurish. How oisik b'mitzvos bikachayim. Let's say you go to visit someone in the hospital. And you know, you're sitting there, you talk, and you're helping him. You're really doing something for him. Says to him, Potter Mishah HaMitzvahs, he potter from other mitzvahs. Kedin Oisik B'mitzvah Potter HaMitzvahs. We're on the next page. V'afilu Potter B'mitzvahs Me'atari, even Potter from Mitzvahs Dereisa. U'lechein HaShoymer Al Choyle, if let's say you're guarding a Choyle. Let's say, for example, you have an elderly family member and you're at their bedside, you're helping them. Potter Mitzvah, you're Potter. Bevadei potter mitzvah b'tzibur. You're pasha that you're potter from davening with a minion. Ve'ena la'zoivas achel. You should not leave the chayla. K'tei leilu chabesek nesel sbal b'tzibur. That's a bad idea. Im efshei lahachlef im achas yishma. If you can have someone change with you, you have a sibling, children that can you know take over when you're gone. V'hu yeilu chlespal l'odiv tei. Obviously that's better. But if it's just you, then you should not leave. Do not leave the chayla side. And they tells a story on the footnote. Misabrim shabachrim shomru bebeis hashagayim of Chatzkel Abramsky shayzak. Chatzkel Abramsky, when he was older, he had bachrim that used to stay with him. I guess to keep an eye over him when he was home. Bachrim shahi bebeis hashamrei. Amar loy shiratzel leilach besik nesles ba mincha. So the bachrim was watching of Chatzkel Abramsky told him, "I want to go to daven mincha." Amar loy Chatzkel reyato shemer alachile potter menat tefila. Umadu ataratzel leilach besik ba. Chatzkel Abramsky said, "Where do you want to go? You're potter. You're helping me. You're taking care of me. You're watching me. You're keeping an eye for me. You're potter." This could be very negeya. Let's say you have a frum man who wants to be an aide to an elderly person. Right? Some people want to have elderly have aides for their elderly family, not necessarily a woman. Some people want to have a man. Some people want to have frum. It avoids a lot of issues. So that would already be like the shayla with the doctor. Right? You're there. You can't just leave. If you're watching an elderly person, you can't just leave and leave them by themselves for 2 hours. It's dangerous. It's probably against your job is. So there you'd have a lot of these types of shaylas. If you have a male aide who's caring for an elderly patient, you'd have the similar shaylas that we spoke about with the doctor or with Hatzalah about just leaving and going to daven. Now there you'd probably be able to. You wouldn't be able to go daven with him in. You'd probably be able to sneak off to your corner and you know my wife's grandmother is an aide. She spends half the time in the other room watching TV. So okay, you have to know the patient that you're dealing with. But the moment she needs her, you got to be ready to come. You know, if she gets up from the chair and you're not there, it could be dangerous. So this is some of these things that, you know, when caring for elderly family members, these are things we should, you know, keep in the back of our mind to understand the severity of, and even, you know, not family, just be kecholim. It's a real mitzvah that carries with it such a halach. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about, it's interesting, we're going to end up appreciating davening more, but we're going to talk about situations where sometimes you'd have to talk in the middle of davening for a chayla or for a patient. So, a lot of the information that we have tonight, I took from a new sefer that just came out a few months ago. It's called the Chai Behem. It's written by two brothers, the Shachner brothers. give them the credit. They did a lot of hard work. They actually, it's a sad story. They were traveling with, I think, their family, and there was a massive car accident. And their brother, who still needs Refuah Shleima, this sefer was written as a schus for his Refuah Shleima. It seems like he was quite hurt in the crash. So these two brothers spent a lot of time with their brother in hospitals and rehab, so they decided to go through all the halachas of Cholim. And it's very good. It's written in English with fantastic Maamar Mekaymis, even though I did catch one mistake so far. But nonetheless, it's a very well written sefer, and it's contemporary. So you have all the contemporary poskim weighing on it. So it's a very geshmaka sefer that I came across a few weeks ago. So I've been using it a lot. So the Chai Bohem. That's the name of the sefer.
It's written in English
with footnotes on the bottom. Very geshmak, well done. So it's so hopefully it should be a schus for their brother. I forgot his name, but it should be a schus for him, who seems hopefully. Right. So let's start like this. So sometimes you'll be in the middle of davening, let's say for example, and you'll need to be mafsik for a chayla or for other needs. What exactly are the rules of when you're allowed to be mafsik? So if you look over here, number 11, and this will really just give us more of a sensitivity to davening when we don't need to talk. Shulchan Aruch writes in number 11, Tzarech Lizar, a person has to be careful. Contrary to popular opinion, once you say Baruch Shomer, you're not allowed to talk anymore. I don't know if everyone knows this, and definitely in the shuls, a lot of people are not makbar on this, but it says in Shulchan Aruch that once a person talks, once a person says Baruch Shomar, he's no longer allowed to talk until he finishes the Shemoneh Esrei. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that person is not permitted to talk until he finishes Shemoneh Esrei. Now, the question is, what happens during that time of Pesukah Zimah? Let's say, for example, you're in shul, or someone, you're davening bedside of a chayla, and all of a sudden he needs you. And he needs to converse with you. What do you do now? You're middle of the Zimra. So Mr. Brewer writes over number 12, he says, B'chol mokim she'asa l'hafsik. First of all, Stamazi people should know that if you're not allowed to talk during Pesukah Zimra, I feel l'hafsik b'loshan ha'kodesh osla, that I became speak Hebrew. Even though you're talking about l'shan is the same l'shan davening, no, that doesn't work. You can't speak that language either. But this is where things get interesting. U'kishetzarech l'hafsik b'mnei eze oynis. Let's say you need to talk for something that happened, an oynis, an uncontrollable situation. What is included in an uncontrollable situation? Not clear. So, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rabbi Forsheimer both assume that included in that category means a chayla she'en by sakana. Obviously, if it's a chayla she'esh by sakana, you drop everything. It's not a question. But let's say it's a chayla she'en by sakana. They're not going to die, but they need your help. Now, this could be true with kids also. A kid cuts his finger during davening. He needs your attention. Right? So, they both paskin that this is included in the Mishnah Berurah's line over here, b'nei eza oynis. Now, I have a stickle kash because the Ramon Shulchan Aruch on this mechaber, he says that you're not supposed to be mafsik from Bar Shem and Toshman Esrei. So, Ramon, afilu l'dvar mitzvah. You're not allowed to be mafsik for a dvar mitzvah. But he assumes that even though for a dvar mitzvah I can't, but for a chayil I would be, even though he's ing by sakon. No, you're ready in the middle of davening. Right? You're in the middle of psuk of the Zimra, and a guy comes over to you and has a halachic shayla. And he wants you to paskin. So you can't. That's what it says. The only time you're allowed to talk during Pesukah Zimra, the person can speak out, is if it's Letzerich the Minyan. Let's say you got to call someone on the phone and call them to be number 10. So that you are allowed to do.
Or you say page 288.
Right. Ramosha has that famous tshuva. Ramosha says you're allowed to call out the page numbers during the davening because that's Letzerich Tefillah. But if somebody comes into shul and has a shayla about the Basa B'chalov, you can't answer him, even though it's a Dvar Mitzvah. But yet, we're saying now that you would be able to talk for a Chayla Shem by Sakana. I'm not asking a kash, I'm just pointing out, I think that's interesting. But this is the psak that he quotes in the sefer from both Rabbi Forsheimer and Shmuel Kamenetsky that they hold, no, you're allowed to be mafsik for a chayli she'en besakon. Again, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. If it's a chayli she'en besakon, of course you're allowed to be mafsik. We spoke about this when we learned Reb Loz Demila. Obviously, pikuach nefesh trumps everything. Here we're talking about it's not pikuach nefesh. No one's going to die. The patient's not going to die. The patient needs you to carry him, to move him from his bed to the chair, just because he wants to read the newspaper instead of laying in the bed. There's no pikuach involved. And you want to tell them, no, yes, whatever you need to tell them. So Mr. Brewer seems to be saying that there are certain times when you're allowed to talk during Pesukah Dezimra. But it's interesting. He says over here, Tzarech loyimar koidim shedibru elo psukim. But if you do, and this is something you should know for life, if you ever need to speak during Pesukah Dezimra for a good reason, before you speak, you know what you should do? You should say, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen. You know that little tefillah that we say before Vayivarech David? That everyone stands up for, which you don't have to stand up for, right? That little tefillah, that you should say before you interrupt your speech.
No matter where you're up to?
No matter where you're up to in Pesukah Zimra. V'ad vayivarech David, u'kishechoyza lahaskon v'imokim shepasa gerim v'gam kein al pesukim. And then when you come back into Pesukah Zimra, you start again. You say that phrase again and pick up where you left off.
What's so harsh about
because it's like the bracha before and the bracha after. Since Pesukah de Zimra has a bracha before, a bracha shamayim, and a bracha after it yishtabach, so this way we want to make it ke'ilu you remade the bracha. So if you have to speak in middle of Pesukah de Zimra for any reason, therefore you should always first say Baruch Hashem li'olam and always come back and say Baruch Hashem li'olam. That is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. So that's something just stamazay to keep in mind. Now you can start to come up with your own shtickle Torah. What else is included in oinus? What else is an oinus? I don't know. Sometimes not everything is controllable, right? You know, something else is going on in the shul that you need to speak to someone. The police comes, the fire department comes, whatever the case may be. So that would also be an oinus. That's not a controllable situation. So you'd be allowed to talk to them, whatever you have to tell them. The security alarm goes off, and then the police come down. You have to tell them everything is okay. So then before the guy comes into the shul, tell him, first you say to yourself, Baruch Hashem, you say that little bracha, then you talk to him, then when you come back, you say the bracha, the little tefillah again, then you continue davening to Hashem. So that's one thing you should know. But there's another interesting line over here in the Mishnah number 13. Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah says that although talking between Baruch Sha'amar and middle of the Hallelukas would not require a new bracha, but if let's say, for example, you said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mulah Batish B'chayit, and before you even started Haidu, you already had to start talking. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, that's not so pashut. Because Baruch Sha'amar is the bracha on the Pesuk of the Zimra, you were mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. That's like the worst level hefsek. So Mishnah Berurah says you should really try to avoid that. And again, the whole thing is like 3 seconds, right? Between Baruch Sha'amar and the start of Hoidu is like, it's like 2 seconds. But if that happens to be the case, so Mishnah Berurah says in that case you might have to repeat the Baruch Sha'amar. So the suggestion would be is try not to talk between Baruch Sha'amar and the start of Hoidu. Then Mishnah Berurah concludes, V'nir li, shalafiza afilu b'shtika toiv lizor l'chadchil. This is interesting. A lot of people, they'll say Baruch Sha'amar, and then they'll wait till everyone catches up. So they'll space it out between Baruch Sham and the start of Haidu. Says Mishmur, that's wrong. You shouldn't even do a shtika dika hefsik. Just pausing, which could be sometimes true with a choyla, right? You said Baruch Sha'amar, all of a sudden now someone comes over to you and starts talking to you. This is going on, that's going on, or we'll talk more. So let's say, for example, you get a message on your phone that X and Y is wrong with a family member. So you start reading the message. You realize you just said Baruch Mutush, but you never talked, right? But it's a pause of shtika. Mr. Bruce says a pause of shtika you should be careful with also. So that's something just to keep in mind. No, not in that case, no.
So Hodu should
so right away, try to get Hodu in before. Now, what about non-verbal hefsekim? Let's say, for example, you want to respond to a text message. Let's say, you know, very classically, I was just talking to some of this over Shabbos, they had a similar child. You have an aide taking care of a family member, and the aide calls you or texts you, oh, this is wrong with them. What do you want us to do? So it's the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. So you could call them on the phone, which might be mutter, is what we said. But is it better to text them, email them? Is that better? It's ksiva kedibur, and therefore it's the same, might as well make the phone call. Or is there a perk? Now, this is true all the time, because people are on their phone all the time. Doesn't mean it's right, but I'm just pointing out from a halachic standpoint, would ksiva be better than dibur?
It's not soft.
Well, so that's the question. So,
unless you say talking is the hefsek.
No, well, whatever ksiva kedibur dhabi means, whatever, however you define ksiva kedibur.
But is it like an edibloshim ne'adam? Meaning, today I say, oh, I spoke to so-and-so yesterday. Right, right. Talk to him.
No, but we do know there is a shayla in halacha, is ksiva kedibur dhabi. It comes up in a couple places. So the question is, do we say that here also? So if Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld has a tshuva about this, it's a very short tshuva. He was asked, b'mokim sh'asal hafsek b'dibur mutter oz lichtev. Wherever you're not allowed to talk, are you allowed to write? So again, it used to be people would write on paper.
Yeah,
today,
right,
today people write with their phones, but it's the same thing. I'm glad I'm very guilty of it sometimes. I'll jot things down in middle davening because I don't want to forget later. Right? Pen and paper, old school, you'll jot down a thought that pops in or something Torah based and you write it down. The question is, you're allowed to do that during Pesukah de Zimra. Is that mutter? So he paskins, tshuva, number 14, Leniz Daiti Pshita She'osr. Says, basically, I'm talking about Osr. Demaisa Chomur Yoisim Medibur. Because an action is even worse than speaking. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, nope, you can't write, you can't text, you can't email it. It's the same thing. Meaning, it's the same thing. So let's say, for example, according to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, if a person has he sees his phone, and the phone says, you know, we're having problems with whatever the case may be, so should I bother texting it or should I bother calling him? It's the same price, according to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. However.
But that would have been an honest.
My point is that if you're allowed to, you're allowed to do either. But I want to show you now that many achrayim disagree with the Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. They say, no, speech is always worse than writing. So why am I bringing that up? Because if you have a situation where you could either call or text, so that might be better just to text, because that wouldn't be a hefsek at all. Now, if you won't relay the message properly, then obviously you have to be smart about it. So if you look over here, example number 50 from the Sefer Das Noita, these are psukim from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They asked him, "Him acher shagam psukim the Zimra v'yesh shoyis asher chazni yigil." Probably got to be careful with this. When you tell this to people, they'll be like, "Okay, so I can play on my phone during davening." I can respond to text messages and emails during davening because it's not considered dibur, right? That's obviously not what we're supposed to be saying tonight. But they asked Chaim the following shayla: if let's say a person finishes Pesuk HaZimra before the rest of the shul finishes, so now he finished Pesuk HaZimra, he's not allowed to talk, but what does he want to do? Yochel lichtiv divrei Torah bismanah. He wants to write down divrei Torah. Okay, halavai, that's what we all do when we have extra time, right? But you know, today people will be like, oh, I'll respond to emails. Umaradin bigmar yoytze hamoros. I have a rabbi. Well, let's say in middle of Brichas Kriyishma. Let's say in middle of Brichas Kriyishma, a person finishes before the tzibur, he decides to jot down some thoughts, some ideas, some things. So Chaim Kineski answers, tshuva kol ze mutter. It's all mutter. Now, he doesn't say you're allowed to respond to emails. He said you're allowed to write down divrei Torah. But the point is, Chaim Kineski holds not like this, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. He holds ksiva is not kiddush b'dami.
So, also, if let's say you're waiting for the whole tzibur to say shema, you're done. You can open up a sefer and learn. It's not considered hefsek.
So pashtus is, so there's another shiloh. There's a different shiloh about a hefsek b'shehiyah with being, you know, your mind is off. Pashtus, until what we're saying now, wouldn't be a problem. It would not be, even though it's not so pashtus, but that's what it sounds like. So he writes in the footnote, he says, I am b'tshuva akademis barosham, ochim b'shehiyah didon, ha'yimokam lodim shum hefsek. I heard from Chaim Kanevsky, Deloy Kaimalon Kain. We do not paskin ksiva kadibu domi, and therefore it is absolutely not considered a hefsik if a person writes something down. Now again, any time you stammer, they get sidetracked with things, it's always a form of a hefsik, but it's not a hefsik like dibur when you're actually when you're writing something down. Rav Moshe Shtemach writes the same thing. Now he tries to say some lumness over here. Shadibur, dainu mino mikalkel had ledibur, that you know dibur ruins dibur. It's not like it's like a totally different experience. Meaning I'm talking to Hashem instead of talking to Hashem, I talk to someone else. That's a steer to it. But ksiva and dibur are two different forms of expressing thoughts. So he says that's not a problem, and therefore he passes halacha l'maisa that ksiva is not on the same level as dibur. But again, I think that's what most people assume, not like this regression of Chaim Zonnefeld. So therefore, again, so let's say for example you need to respond to urgent, not something. So if you have to respond to something during certain parts of davening, it would probably be better to text it or to write it than it would be to actually speak it out.
But before Baal Shem is no problem.
You could talk before Baal Shem, right? No problem.
At anything.
Yeah,
it seems contrary to the holding anybody to feel. I just hear people saying you shouldn't be learning by davening or whatever it may be.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm not talking about during Shema. I think they were talking about Pasha. I mean, I'm not saying I subscribe to it, but I just heard that.
Again, you know, generally there's a shiloh of Stamazay talking in the basic Knesset. These are, you know, Enechrami. But from the Hilchas Tefillah thing, but before Baruch Shem, are you safe? Now, what happens if a person has an interruption during, let's say, for example, a person, you know, gets a text message on his phone that his family member needs, you know, there's something going on. So you have a back and forth text messaging, that's fine. By the time you finish text messaging, you realize it's 15 minutes in. Is that already, I got to start from the beginning of Pesuk HaZimra? This is, you know, there is such a concept called Shehiya Bizman. At some point, you got to go back to the beginning. So Mishnah Berurah Paskins, for Pesuk HaZimra, we don't say that. For Pesuk HaZimra, even if you took a break for 2 hours, you come right back where you were and you pick up where you left off. Says Mishnah Berurah number 17, you spent enough time that you could have finished the whole Pesuk HaZimra. You don't have to go back to the beginning, you just pick up where you left off. Okay, so that's the first part of davening, if something comes up. What about in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema? That's after Yishtabach, till you get to Shema Nesir. What are the rules over there? So it's not clear what exactly would the rules be at that point, for what would you be allowed to be mafsik. Obviously, for Pekuach Nefesh, it's a no-brainer. But here's a machloikis contemporary achrein. Reb Shammai Gross is a Belzadayin in Eretz Yisrael, one of the high-ranking Belzadayin. So he paskes that for Chayil Hashem B'Sakon, you'd be allowed to talk during Birchas Kriya Shema. So let's say, for example, a person gets a message that they're elderly, something's going on, they need to be busy with it. So they'd be allowed to talk in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema. However, they say Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky doesn't think so. He says there's Mechatesa. Where do you see that? It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that there's such a heter. Again, it doesn't say anywhere there's a heter to talk during Pesuk HaZimra either for a chayla. But so that's a machloikis contemporary achrein, and whether or not you'd be allowed to talk. So what would be the best option?
Text.
This way you avoid the whole issue. But if you are allowed to talk, you'd only be allowed to talk during what's called Bein HaProkim. What's Bein HaProkim? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch number 18, it says, Ve'elu Hein Bein HaProkim. What is between the chapters, between the topics? So Bein Bracha Rishon L'Shnei, between Yoytza HaMararis and Avarabas. I mean, let's say, for example, you know you have to be Mafsik, so try to get to finish Yoytza HaMararis before you start Avarabas. That little break, that's when you can talk about the Chayla or be Metapel with the Chayla. So if you're davening in the room with the Chayla and you see he needs you, so try to get to Yoytza HaMararis and say, okay, what's going on? What can I do? You're having trouble breathing? Do you need the doctor? You know, things like that. But then between that and the start of Shema. So once you get into Avir Rabbah, so then you finish the bracha before you start the Shema, that's when you'd have the conversation if you need to. Then you have Bein Shema L'Hoya Shemaya, L'Vahoya Yom Shemaya, Bein V'Hoya Yom Shemaya, L'Vayomer. Then you'll have between each of the parshias in the Shema. Avu Bein Emes L'Yatzev L'Yafzik. But between Emes and Yatzev, that's a big no-no spot, that you don't want to make any breaks over there. So that's something you should just be aware of, that if you need to make those pauses during that time, try to get to the end of a topic to make the pause.
It's now, kind of interesting, Rabbi, because a lot of shuls have this, you know, program, everybody put your phones away from davening from the beginning to the end. I suppose if you're in a situation where you think you're going
to
need to be...
So I was talking to shul where a guy's phone rings and everyone starts shushing and annoying him. The guy's like, I'm a doctor. Now, maybe he should put it on vibrate also. I don't know.
So my people stop. No. Because if you know you're going to have...
100%. 100%. 100%. If you know that you're going to... I remember my Rebbe was being very metabolic with his father before he passed away. So he brought his phone with him to shir, and he told us before shir, I might have to answer the phone in the middle of shir because it's negeid l'chayla, so, you know, just bear with me. Now, obviously, it's easier when you're in a small room, but when you're in a big shul, people always get the wrong impression. Maybe in that case, you should try to dive on the outskirts or something, you know, not to shter the rest of the midi, but in a chalami, that would be the halacha. If you know that there's something going on with a chayla, they'll need your input or your advice, or they need to let you know what's going on. Yeah, 100%. Daven with the phone out. 100%. So it's just interesting. Mr. Brewer points out that's number 18. Now, Mr. Brewer writes over here that the Yesh Machmir Gam Beparsha Shnia. There are those people that are Machmir even for. No, this is supposed to go back over here. One second. Let's see one more halacha. Number 920 says the Mechaber Hakoyre Kriyashma. A person reads Kriya Shema, lo yirmaz be'enof. Do not make hints with your eyes. So a lot of people say to themselves, okay, I'm not allowed to talk, but I'll hint, I'll wink, I'll clap, I'll snap, I'll put on a whole production over here, but I'm not talking, right? Says the Shulchan Aruch, hakoyre Kriya Shema, if a person saying Kriya Shema, lo yirmaz be'enof. He's not supposed to be meramis, hint with his eyes. V'lo yikrotz b'svasav, he shouldn't make signs with his lips. V'lo yar be'etzboisav, he shouldn't snap, point, things like that. All that is wrong. When? Beparashah Rishayna. That's all not allowed. When? During the first parasha of Kriya Shema. So a person in the middle of the first parasha of Kriya Shema, and someone comes to him and he reads his phone, whatever the case may be with the chayla, so he shouldn't go, whatever. No, all that's not allowed. Shehu ikra kabbalas ol malchus shemaim, because this is the main part of kabbalas ol malchus shemaim, neshenir ki kaira akaroi. Because if you're going to start doing a million other things, what are you basically showing us? That the part where you're supposed to be accepting HaKadosh Baruch as the Melech is not that important, because you're doing 25 other things. So that's only during the first parsha. So the truth is, the parish can speak this out, that let's say during Pesukah Dezimra, let's say during Brichas Kriya Shema, they come to you and they, you know, start, if you could be merameis, that would be the best. I mean, let's say, for example, sometimes you don't need to talk. You could just be a hint. Right, so then hinting is fine, except if it's during the first parasha of Kriya Shema. During the first parasha of Kriya Shema, you can't even do hinting. We spoke about this way back when we had a whole shiur about Pesukah Dezimra and Kriya Shema. We talked about even giving tzedakah during the first parasha of Kriya Shema is not so poshut. Or even moving people around and telling people, you go here, you go there. That stuff is really not supposed to be done during the first parasha of Kriya Shema. Now, the Mishnah Berurah has a chumrah that even during the second parasha of Kriya Shema, you shouldn't do that. But Mr. Bruce says if it'd be a Dvar Mitzvah, it would be Mutta. So let's say, for example, you'd be davening by a Chayla, and you get to the second parsha of Kriya Shema, and then they need you, so then you'd for sure be allowed to be Merames, maybe even, you know, try to be, if you need to talk, try to get it between parsha and parsha, but the Merames you'd be allowed to do. Let's see one other halacha. What would happen if a person, during Shemon Esrei, so we're working our way through the davening, so we have before Baruch Shama, till Baruchu, Brichas Kriya Shema, till Shemon Esrei. Shemon Esrei is very sacred. It's even more sacred than Kriya Shema. Shemon Esrei is mamish, no, nothing unless for pikuach nefesh. Person is not allowed to be mafsik Shemon Esrei to talk unless it's a question of pikuach nefesh. You know,
and no actions either.
Ah, we'll get to that right now. Says the Shulchan Aruch number 21. Lo yafsik b'tfilos. A person should not interrupt his Shemon Esrei. Va'afilu melech Yisrael shayel b'shalom. Even if a Jewish king asks you, lo yishevena, don't answer him. Okay, if a Goyishi king, he doesn't understand. Maybe you'll have to get around it. But really, during Shemon Esrei, no talking. Says the Mishnah Berura. V'afila remiza ba'alma aser. You can't even hint. You can't even, you know, play games during. So when you're in the Shemon Esrei, you really gotta be focused. Unless it's pikuach nefesh. Obviously, it's pikuach nefesh.
So a bunch of people talking while you're trying to.
Says the Mishnah Berura. Im loy letine kaboyche. Unless you have, let's say, a crying child. Mutu loy leramis loy biyadav. You're allowed to be meramis. K'deshi yishtoik. V'lo yatridu mitfilase. So there's a heter to be meramis, so it shouldn't disturb your davening. Yeah, same thing. If that doesn't help, so here's the question: what do you do? There's something disturbing your davening. So you can either talk or leave. What would most people think to do? Says Mishnah Berurah, "Vim einoi moyol yarchik asas mimenu v'lo yidab imo." It's better to walk away than it is to talk. Move, middle shmanesre, leave.
And you can pick up where you left.
Yeah, pick up where you left off. V'chein adam nichbach amid b'tfilu asher tzibam. Okay, so Mishnah Berurah says. Yeah, Mishnah Berurah says that.
There's a bunch of people that finish shmanesre. They're standing next to me. They're talking.
First, you try to be meramez. If it doesn't work, then you get up and leave. That's what Mr. Bruce says. Yeah. Now, it's interesting.
Let's say you're at a point in davening where you're not able to answer the Kedusha. Do you go up with your feet, though? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
Shemei Koine? I don't think so. I think you just listen.
Yeah. You don't move your feet.
I don't believe so. No.
That now.
I'm not sure if that would be considered a hefzik, but I don't believe that's what you do. Now, here's the shayla. Let's say a person has a long interruption in Shemana Esrei. Does he have to, again, let's take an example, middle Shemana Esrei, you have to, I had this on Matzah Shabbos. My son came to daven with me in my shul. We had Shal Shudis, and then we had Ma'ariv. And during Shal Shudis, he drank a lot of Coca-Cola because I wasn't watching it. And he was sitting in shul, mamish in his seat, and just threw up everything. Mamish just, it was a sight. So I was in middle Shemana Esrei, so what was I going to do? So I left. I walked out. I went with him to the bathroom to be metapel and do whatever I had to do. So now I come back. So first of all, am I allowed to talk? He said, Chayil Hashem Ha'isakona. Maybe, probably not. The vomiting, unless you're dehydrated, is not dangerous. So he's a chayla shem esakana. So would I be allowed to talk? Probably not. So I'm sure I want to be allowed to talk, right? So, so what do you do when you come back? When you come back to the Shemana Esrei, where do you start from? So first of all, Mr. Brewer says that if you stopped for a good, if you stopped consciously, even if it was for a mitzvah or something against your control, you don't go back to the beginning of Shemana Esrei. It's interesting. You would think not like that, right? Mishnah Berurah says the only time if you stopped because it was what's called an oinus. You stopped because the davening had to stop. Let's say, for example, in the middle of davening, all of a sudden a foul odor comes in. And someone brings the baby with the diaper, and all of a sudden, forget it, no one can daven. So that break would make you go back to the beginning of Shemana Esrei if you broke long enough to finish the Shemana Esrei. But if I consciously made the break, even though I only broke because of an uncontrollable situation, then the Mishnah Berurah passing is you don't have to go back to the beginning, you just start off where you picked up where you left off. Oh, we're already out of time. But Lina, the next week I want to talk about interruptions during benching. And then I want to start talking about the actual hospitals. And the big shadow that comes up at the hospitals is praying or davening in rooms that have crosses. Very common, many hospitals today have crosses, especially if you're in any one of the saint hospitals. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk, and then we'll get more into the actual hospitals with regard to Shabbos and other Inyan and Bli Nether. We'll get to that hopefully next week. Okay, everybody.